The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
This is Lawton Minshew, number 23. We're down here in East Bay. We're on Dirt World with Billy the Kid and Joe Dirt.
This is Showtime, Sean Smith, and you're listening to the Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid. Billy, will you put some dirt on my dog?
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
It is Wednesday night, and that means it's time for Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid. Joe, Billy, you ready?
Right, we are ready. Jack, what's happening, buddy?
Well, we were going to go with Dazed and Confused because I thought it would be appropriate, but I couldn't get it queued up fast enough.
Well, Stranglehold's just as good because you do indeed keep us on a tight stranglehold, making sure we do the program every Wednesday night, bringing everybody all the information of dirt motorsports throughout the South and certainly here in Florida and across the country with my good friend Billy the Kid, as always, across the big table. I'm Joe Dirt. Billy, good evening, young man.
What's going on, man? We got a kind of a laid-back show tonight. We don't have any guests.
That's for sure. It's going to be laid-back, and this is why you guys are so important to this program. DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. That's all you got to do. DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. We want to hear from you tonight. We want to hear perhaps where you were this weekend, where you plan on going this upcoming weekend. Maybe you took a trip up to Lake City in North Florida there and checked out the third round of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series 2009 event where Mark Whitener just once again took it to him, or perhaps one of the other local tracks. Please be a part of the program tonight, DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com.
Kind of a weird weekend for racing. No racing Friday night at Ocala. Monster Trucks were in town, and what a big show he had Friday night and Saturday, and then Saturday night as well on Sunday. Real good for the guys there to get a weekend off. It was good for me to have the Friday night off. But Saturday, different story. United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series invaded North Florida Speedway. 27 cars made the show up. I mean, we could have had more, but, you know, just it is what it is. The economy's a little down. I think right this minute, Joe, to be honest, I think the next show we go to Oglethorpe May 15th and then Screven on May the 16th, I think you'll see decent car counts there. But coming down the home stretch here, man, we got the Powell Memorial on June the 5th. I'm expecting around 40 to 50 cars to make the bill for that. A lot of guys don't want to travel anymore. I think once we start hitting the home stretch here with all the Florida dates, I think you'll see the car counts start to come around. You know, last year, right about 40-some cars at the Powell Memorial, a little over 60 for the Thompson. So hopefully it'll be right about the same again. And we still hit Volusia three times, and we still have two more races left at Ocala, I believe. So it'll be good down the stretch here, and we'll see what happens.
And that says something about Volusia Speedway Park. The fact that Ken and the gang over at Volusia were able to come to an agreement and host three events at Volusia Speedway Park, and really looking forward to that. The Thompson Memorial, you know, you talk about the summer and things starting to heat up. It all realistically starts with the Powell at Ocala. This will be the second Powell on dirt, back on dirt for 2009. Then, of course, the Scott Thompson Memorial at Volusia. This is when I think, you know, the summer, the hot season starts. This is when the late models really start to heat up.
You'll start to see them. I mean, you got guys that won't make travels to different places, but you'll start to see that come around here in the next few weeks and in the upcoming months with the races that are going on at those two facilities. And we're something that we're looking forward and looking pretty excited. I figured that we would have somewhere around 35 cars at North Florida, but I mean you had guys that said they were coming just that didn't show up, and that's happening a lot. But you know, for various reasons, five or eight or nine guys didn't make the call for that deal. So you know, we can go from there and see what happens. But We still had a great show. I mean, Whitener did win the show. I don't think Whitener had the best car. I'll say this one more time. Monday night, I said it. I don't think Whitener had the best car. I thought Adam Beanball, Adam Beanball, I thought had the best car, and he was an innocent bystander in two lap cars that got together and took him out of contention. But it was him and Jack Noswick, or him and Keith Noswick in the beginning that just put on a well of a show. Keith was gone. Keith just flat checked out, and you know, we ran somewhere around 20, probably right around 20 laps without a caution. But once they got together, then Beanball got into the rear quarter panel of the 101 car and knocked the valve stem off the wheel. And when he did that, that pretty much set things in motion. Keith pulled up to the high side, had a flat tire. We threw the yellow for that, and the two lap cars were already together in 3 and 4, and that's when Beanball plowed into him. So within one lap, that changed the whole scenario, the lead deal, you know. And Jack Nosbick had a really good run, too, and I thought that Jack, when it was over, he had broke the motor in the car. So, you know, that's another bad thing. Ivan and Lloyd had a good run, running in the top five. And
driving David Clegg's ride again?
Yeah, running David Clegg's car. I talked to Clegg today, knocked the whole rear end out the car.
Involved, just swept into something? Or?
Nah, it was a little bit of character in the racetrack, what I like to call character. There was a hole. A hole getting into turn one.
And personality there at
yeah,
North Florida?
And it was pretty bad, but knocked the rear end right out of that car, knocked the left rear wheel off of Tyler Ivey's car. But we made it through, and I talked to Clegg today. They got the Clegg. The sod rod is what Dent calls it. They got it ready to go for Oglethorpe and Screven, so we'll see what happens there.
The sod rod. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, Dent driving the sod rod, when David's in it, he's the sod father.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, the sod rod.
Yeah, I
got
to definitely use that if it came from the professor, no doubt about it. World of Outlaw Sprint Cars continuing their 2009 campaign, all is well there. Can't say the same for the late models. Those guys were rained out a couple of times this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, scheduled at KC Raceway. Then, of course, they make the trip to Lernerville Tuesday. That was actually yesterday, where they got everything done except the B-Main and the feature. So you can look for Gary Risch and the gang to reschedule that one. They may do that during the Firecracker. Hard to say. That, of course, is Independence Day weekend up there at Lernerville, so we'll see what happens. But maybe we'll talk to Rick Escherman if we stay on the air long enough tonight.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on that deal. And you know, like you said, the sprint cars are a little down about the late models. I really didn't check and see what's going on in the world around us about racing. Been kind of down for almost a week now, but things will get turned around and we'll go from there. But got some great news about Henry County Motorsports Park this week. Somewhere right around 205 loads of clay. And I'll tell you something. We put some pictures on the internet about the clay. And if you feel in your mind or you look at this and you think there's something wrong with this, trust me, my friends, there's nothing wrong with what we got. Had word that there was a few people that were kind of hating on what we had, said it looked like rock. But this stuff, I remember when they brought the clay or the gumbo in, let's just say gumbo. I remember when they brought the gumbo into Volusia and had it piled up in the infield and said this is what they were going to use. I took a little piece of it. I messed with it, played with it a little while, played with it a little more. And it was pretty good, kind of like a putty type material.
Kinda. It's like modeling clay that you used when you were a kid. If I could use that,
yeah,
you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. The difference in the modeling clay or the clay that the gumbo that was at Volusia was a little bit darker.
Yeah, of course.
This gumbo that we found down south is like a blue gumbo. It reminds me so much of the stuff that we used when we were kids, but. I will tell you this. I got a call from the one of the guys that's putting it on the track on Thursday. He called me on Thursday night and said, Billy, is there a possibility this is too tacky? Well, that tells you right there how tacky it is. You know,
no doubt.
I talked to Ken yesterday, and Ken said they watered down the front straightaway, and he walked across it, and he'd been gone. He was almost at home and still had it stuck to his shoes. So this is what I'm talking about. The thing that happens in this racing world is people get jealous. People get upset. People may get accustomed to what's happening, and maybe they like racing on that. Let's just say that baseball clay. Maybe that's what they enjoy. But I've seen it firsthand that you can't race on it. If you can race on it, you can't race on anything else. So I think with the surface that we put down on Henry County, I think it's going to give it a little more character. I think what happens there is you'll see passing. You'll see there'll be nights where it may be a little damper than others. It depends on how it holds water. There may be nights where it's going to black over, you know. But that's what makes a dirt track a dirt track. If you want to race on the same surface got the asphalt race. I'm sorry. I mean, this is a dirt program, and I don't want to be a jerk, and I don't want to tell you. But, you know, that's the best thing about dirt racing. Water can control that racetrack. If you put too much water on it, it's real tacky. It's a different surface than what you may have next week. If you put the least bit of water on it, it may black over. It may be like an asphalt track. And I think the difference is if you see the same guy win both weeks, which usually don't happen, then that means they got their setup good for wet and they got their setup good for slick. So, you know, that's the whole key, I think. But looking at this stuff, if you look on the Internet, I mean, it has a blue tint to it. Yeah, it may look like a rock, but that's what, when it gets smashed down, that's what it's supposed to look like. I mean, if it's sitting there look like a rock, it's like composure. Remember one thing, sand can't look like a rock.
So many times on this program, we've talked to different drivers from the Midwest, from, of course, the Tennessee Valley area, where they enjoy some of the best racing clay you're going to find on the planet.
Right.
And what you see up there, Billy, these guys, and you know this, they all have the same surface, 10, 12 different racetracks.
Yeah.
Within two states are going to have the same exact surface. Florida, Ocala, totally different than East Bay.
Right.
East Bay, totally different than Volusia. Lake City, Hendry County, all five of those racetracks, completely different surface. Realize it, set up for it, prepare for it, prepare for the fact that, hey, we're going to this surface, let's go to our notes, let's get ready for this. That's all there is to it. You're not going to get the same surface that you do up in Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, and on up through the eastern seaboard. You're just not going to, it's not going to happen.
Well, see, that's what I was saying is you look at the surface, and we took, if we didn't think it was good amongst the people of the group that we have that looked at it, we wouldn't put it on the racetrack. You know, we wouldn't have put it on there. But, you know, the thing about it is we took a sample of this clay or this gumbo to Brunswick the week we had our late model series at Brunswick, and we let the late model series drivers, the United Early Model Challenge Series drivers, and they looked over it. And I'll tell you, I mean, if you just go down the list of the top five of those guys that was in the top five, you had Clegg that was – or Ivan and Lloyd won the race. You have him. You had Tyler Ivey. You had Dylan Wood, Johnny Collins, Mark Whitener, just to name a few, Jason Fitzgerald, every one of them got to take their shot at the material that we're going to use. We took it, we had it, they all touched it, they all felt it, they all handled it, and every one of them agreed that they thought this would be pretty good stuff. So that's why we went with what we went with. It took us about a month and a half or longer. It took us so much time. I know Ken was pulling his hair out about finding clay. And I told Glenn, just hang tight. We'll find something. And I think we have. I think we found something that will make the racing good in Hendry County. And would it be in the track that's the furthest, you know, the southernmost track in the United States? I think it's going to draw from Miami. And let's face it, you can't get people there to watch racing in a sand pit. You have to have good racing and make it good for them, and I think that's what we're trying to do.
Well, you can get people to watch racing on a sand pit. There's racetracks right now that's happening at. Because they're not being creative enough to go and search out the particular surface like Ken did, like all these other tracks did, man. I mean, look, you're down in South Florida, the center corridor of the state, and I am so surprised that you guys were able to find this kind of material down there, because that whole area, I mean, it's just not conducive to that. So you got kind of a little gold mine, lack of a better term there, man. So wherever they found that, they need to definitely, you know, keep those resources open, because that's pretty interesting to find that kind of surface down that far south.
Well, you know, I mean, Joe, when they put the surface on Volusia, I mean, I know it's been 4 or 5 years since they put it on, and I know right now it's starting to break up some, and it's starting to get, you know, it's starting to bust down some.
Oh, yeah.
So I think if we can get 5 good years out of that stuff that's down there,
mm-hmm.
in those 5 years, you'll be able to tell which way we're going with the racing surface or with the racing track. And if we have to, we'll go further north to get the clay. By then, we, you know, you can do it. But you're talking about investing. When you just invested in buying the place, you can't afford to go out and spend $100,000 on clay. You just can't afford to do it.
You don't want to have to, but sometimes you do have to do something like that. You know,
in order to get the good clay, I mean, trust me, we thought about having it trained from Georgia to down south. We thought about having red clay trained in down there.
Okay, what are you going to do after you need more? You know,
I got a dumb question. I got a dumb fan question.
Go ahead.
How do we know that, since it's never been done before, that this stuff's going to turn out so good that people in Georgia are going to want to start buying Everglades clay?
You know, that would be awesome.
Well,
right there.
I will tell you something, Jack.
Because we want the Georgia clay.
I will tell you something. Right out of Frankie Lloyd's mouth, after Volusia put that black gumbo down, he said flat out he wished he had that stuff up there because it made for much better racing.
I remember when he said that.
Yep. Yeah. So you never know. We could be. That's what I'm saying. We could be sitting on a gold mine. But no matter what, you're going to have some people out there that are going to enjoy it, and you're going to have people out there that's going to be haters. You know, and it ain't about hating. It's about jealousy. That's
Billy,
what it all comes around to.
If you got haters, you're doing it right.
Oh, well, that's what I want.
I've learned that in this business, my friend. If you got haters, you're doing it right.
Yep, I know. I understand what you're saying, Joe.
It's that simple. But again, I go back to the fact that, you know, a half a dozen, even seven different racetracks have seven different surfaces in this state, and I think that is a neat parody, and that's something neat for these guys to have to go and have to set their car up and race on a different surface. I'm personally glad it's that way. You know, when I do get an opportunity to go to these different racetracks and see, you know, the different material that they use, I think it's great, man. It's really cool to watch different materials, but there are some of those tracks that are operating with Florida sugar sand, and that's terrible to see, but that's what they work with. That's what they do.
Yeah, but it's not working as good as it could be working if they had something else. And
right.
Sometimes I think it's worth the money to try it one time and see what goes down. But you know what? That's what makes racing interesting, and that's what makes the, you know, some of these facilities around the facilities that they are is the surface. And I think no matter what, sooner or later, people are going to realize that when you don't have any race cars racing there, that you need to do something different.
Well, the bottom line here is Hendry County is on the right track. Things are looking very well because, let's face it, I mean, it was somewhat kind of dismal just as, you know, short as a month ago. Things weren't looking that great. So the fact that Ken has kind of doubled down here, he's kind of reevaluated. He's
right.
Got the surface. He's got the surface applied. You guys actually have a soft opening date. Take us through some of that schedule, man. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we actually we set an opening date this week. It's going to be July the 18th. That's a Saturday night, of course. And then we'll have a rain date of July the 25th. It'll be the rain out date. We will have open practice on June the 13th, June the 20th, and I believe it's July the 8th, which will be a Thursday night before the first week before we start our one week to go. But we'll open the gates at 5:30 p.m. on those days. We'll practice from 7 to 11. It'll be $15 per person in the grandstand. I mean, $15 per person in the pit area and $5 per person in the grandstand. I believe 12 and under is free. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, Joe, the people down, I mean, let's face it, it's 3.5 hours from right here to go there.
You're not expecting these drivers and these people.
You're exactly right. We're expecting to open up a whole new ball game down south.
That's right.
The Hialeah is no longer racing. And, you know, that's what we're looking for. Maybe guys that have dirt cars that have been sitting on them and guys that want to build dirt cars. Some of them asphalt race down there might say, man, let's go to Clewiston. And then you get them start building cars. Yeah, we might get some from the East Bay area. And when Volusia's not running the hobby stocks, if we have a big hobby stock show, maybe they'll go down. Or same way with late models, same way with modifieds. You know, you're not looking to pull, you know, 15 or 20 cars from this area. If you pull four or five, you're doing good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you're looking for. So.
But again, dude, that's not your demographic. Your demographic is just what you said, South Florida. I think the fact that it's already been coined the furthest track in the continental United States, dude, that says something. That is a cool moniker to have right there.
Right.
The furthest track of the southernmost track in the continental U.S. That's cool. But you are going to see cars, you know, being dusted off that used to race at old, Okeechobee.
Yeah.
You're going to see that, man. I mean, you've got a following down there, and right. I think they're going to come out of the woodwork, man, so be ready for it.
Yeah, and I also think, too, one thing that I think that's going to happen here is not only will we get those cars, but I think we'll get the fans as well. And I think the fans down around the West Palm Beach area and down around the Miami area, once they get there and they see what we're doing and the way we're doing this deal, I think it'll be good for everybody. And one thing that I'm going to do for sure is we live here. And that's 3.5 hours further south of us. It's almost like they don't have a winter down there. You know, I don't think it gets too cold. So maybe sometime in the wintertime when people up here aren't racing, we might could have some winter spectacular races or something put together and run these shows, and, you know, in December. I mean, I'd hate to run around the Christmas time, but maybe a little bit before that, maybe something in January when it's not so cold and go from there. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and I'm just glad things are going well. Like I said,
we might have us a Sugarland 50.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome. Sure. I mean, you're good with these names, man.
I know.
You know, Everglades.
Yeah.
You know, certainly you got the Gator. You know, you got to use that. Sugar Cane.
Yeah.
Everglades. All of it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, the big race by the big lake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
we can do something, man. I mean, I'm excited. I'm ready to go, and we'll see what goes down from there. But still, no matter what, I'm going to stay with the Ocala deal on Friday. And
that's going well?
But, oh, yeah, that's going great.
Monster Trucks for three straight nights. Heard he packed the place.
Oh, yeah, it was I talked to somebody that went Friday night and said it took them almost an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes to get out the parking lot.
Oh,
so that tells you something right there.
Oh, my.
Then I talked to somebody else that went Saturday night and told me that there wasn't a seat in the place Saturday night. Said you had the stand, and there was three and four and five people deep in between the grandstands for you to be able to see.
Wow.
But, I mean, anytime you
put
Grave Digger in the place and you put
Maximum Destruction.
And Maximum Destruction with him. Even though
Tom Mentz driving it.
Yeah, Tom Mentz was driving Maximum Destruction. Even though you didn't have Dennis Anderson and the Grave Digger, people don't care.
No.
The kids don't know who's driving it. All they know is it's Grave Digger.
It was Digger.
Grave Digger.
Who else?
I don't know the other trucks. Gunslinger and a
Scott Hartsock.
Yeah, he had like six.
Florida boy.
Yeah, he had six or seven trucks, but they had a and last year he had a ride along truck too, so
good deal.
They had a pretty good show.
Good for them. Good for them. You guys are back in action on Friday night. Late models are back in action at Ocala with Gladiators and Thunderstocks, I think, on the card as well.
Yeah, actually, late models, Hobby Stocks, V8 Thunders, and the four-cylinder Gladiators.
Okay.
It should be a good weekend for late models. I'm hoping. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I've called a bunch of them this week. But, you know, a lot of guys' stuff is still need to be tuned up from last week at North Florida. But 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when they ran late models there, I was in Alabama. He had 27. I don't know that we'll hit that mark this week.
Not bad.
You know, the thing is you know, we won't have the sod rod. They're getting parts in. And
going to Oglethorpe.
Yeah, their deal got tore up, and I called Tyler Ivey, and he's going to take the weekend off. And I talked to Sean Smith. He said he broke the motor, and he's not going to have that back. But, you know,
Sean hadn't got his game on this year, man.
Yeah.
He's got to get rolling here. He really does.
With no late models running that Volusia, I mean, Saturday night, and no late models at East Bay, I think these guys will probably want to race. So we still should see the 15, the 20, the 25 car
mark. I think you're going to do better than 15, Billy. Come on, man. Give yourself some credit.
I'm not done calling yet.
I hear you. Volusia Speedway Park, we're back in action after a weekend off for the Kentucky Derby and, of course, the Richmond race. Now, this is our We Love You Mom event each season. We, of course, give all of the accolades to the great mothers, and of course we'll celebrate Mother's Day 2009, which of course is Sunday, gentlemen. Don't forget that. May 9th, that's Saturday night. Well, sportsmen are back for $1,000. Mini stocks, they're back already for another $500 to win. So don't miss that. Grandstands 5:30, racing at 7:30. Volusia's back on Saturday night.
Yeah, the sportsman race is always a big hit, that once a year deal they have, and we're going to have a big sportsman race the following week at Ocala, so I think it'll be a good 2 weeks for sportsmen guys. This Saturday night, of course, at your place at Volusia Speedway Park for $1,000 a win, and then the following week on the 15th at Ocala for $1,000 a win. So it could be a good 1 week span for one guy if they could knock down both of them. That's a $2,000 weekend for or $2,000 a week for a sportsman driver. That's pretty good.
Absolutely. So looking forward to that. Tell you what, folks, we got about 5 minutes till the top of the hour. We are going to step back for just a moment, and that'll give us an opportunity to get on the line Rick Eshelman. We haven't talked to Rick. He's driving the rig, actually heading out of Ohio. He's heading up to Michigan. He's going to take a week off, go see his new granddaughter, and then he'll head back to Phoenix City, Alabama, and take about a week off before the World of Outlaws Late Models gets back underway. When we come back, the voice of the World of Outlaws Late Models.
time to get back to the action with Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid. This is Dirt World.
Welcome back to Dirt World on Real Racing USA. Can you hear me, Bill?
I got you, man.
All right. Welcome back to Dirt World on Real Racing USA.com, our Wednesday installment.
Check
talking
one, two,
dirt.
Three.
We're all good. Test, one, two, test, test, test. With Billy the Kid, I'm Joe Dirt. What a pleasure to be on board. We've already...
I just was trying to do the test deal to make Rick feel at home at the Dirt Car Nationals, because that's what Johnny Gibson does. Test, one, two, three. And he says there with like a head. I got the same headset on like what he had. Test, yeah. World of Outlaw radio test, one, two, three. World of Outlaw PA test, one, two, test, one, two, three. Y'all know he's the greatest in the world. Y'all know it.
Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Just ask him.
Ricky.
Boy, you guys are hardcore tonight.
Oh, we are. Dude, you know, we sat in the garage of the studio, and we said, you know, Billy, who are we going to talk to? We don't have any guests. I mean, we were going to get a couple of guys that all kind of fell through. And we sat there, and we actually said, maybe our producer Jack won't call us.
Won't you tell the truth?
Right then the phone rang.
Won't you tell him the truth? How we threw in all the jerks that we know. We threw them all in one hat. We drew your name out.
Oh, I wouldn't do it like
that. I was the only one in the hat. Are you kidding?
This man is out here working. He's driving the rig, heading to see his brand new granddaughter up in Michigan.
Oh,
Rick, I think that's wonderful, man.
Yeah, it's going to be real cool. I'm really excited, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. You guys kind of had a tough time getting going here this past weekend, a couple of rainouts, and then, of course, Lernerville. It's been pretty bad weather up in that whole region of the country over the last couple of weeks.
It ain't getting any better either, Joe. They're calling for rain here every day for the next week. Good news is we didn't lose the races. They're just going to be reshuffled later on in the year, so... You know, that's a good thing. We're not losing them. We're just putting them on the back shelf.
That's cool. And of course, you guys will be making the trip to Lernerville for the Firecracker. That's in July. Now, will you make up that B-Main in that feature then, or what?
Yeah. Funny you should ask. Let's set the table for this thing. We go to Sweekin, Ontario, Canada on a Thursday. Then 2 days later, Drummondville, Quebec, Canada.
Okay.
And Canada.
Oh, okay. Oh.
We lost the jerk.
He's driving. He's driving down the road.
Huh?
He's driving down the road.
Hello?
Dang. The thing about it, I think
get
we got
Johnny Gibson on the phone.
We gotta call him.
He got the good cell phone tower. Huh? Is he trying to put us in commercial?
Jack, do that. Let's get Rick back and see it. And if it doesn't sound any better, we'll just scrap it for the night.
No, I got him. I got him, and he's calling me. Right, just hang on a minute.
Nice.
I mean, don't they understand? Don't the cell phone towers know we're trying to talk racing here?
I know, man.
And the phone can't go. That happened to me Monday night. Jack and I'm on their other program on Monday nights, and he's trying to talk to me. He says, move over in the other lane. I said, I'm on a one-lane road, knucklehead.
Yeah.
I got the other lane. Here comes some old lady beeping the horn. Baby! I got my arm out the window. I'm holding the cell phone going, hang on, Jack!
Hey, guys, if we take a break right here real quick, we'll have it back here in no time.
All right, we'll be back with the voice of the World of Outlaws late model.
I got to go potty anyway.
All right.
Your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
All right, Joe and Billy, I think we're hooked up with your man again.
We know that.
Where did I drop you guys off at?
I don't know. You were talking about, I heard you say Oswego, and then I heard you say Canandaigua.
Yeah, we do Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Thursday we make up what we lost last night. Then Friday and Saturday it's the Firecracker, so it's like 8 or 9 straight nights.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Good
yeah,
Lord.
That's going to be brutal.
Hey, speaking of Lernerville, just read a thing in Dirt Late Model. What happened up there? They just brought in another. Uh, Rick. I can't quite nail it down.
What are you trying to say?
I think they just introduced a new division. For UMP, and it was a modified deal, I think, or was it?
Well, they're trying to get the UMP Dirt Car Pro late model, which is basically the crate late models going over in that area.
That's what it is, right there. It's the crate late
model. It's not a pickup in that area, no doubt.
Yeah, and I think Gary was pretty happy bringing them on board, and there's a handful of other tracks, so things are always just plugging along up there anyway.
Yeah, Joe, I hate to do this to you and Billy, and I apologize, but I got to talk NASCAR for about 5 seconds.
I'll allow it, Billy. Will you allow it?
Me and...
No.
Hey, this is good, Billy. You'll like
go
it.
Ahead. Okay, go ahead, Donnie Gibson. It's okay.
Whoa. Me and Big Sexy and Sandy got hot passes to Talladega.
Right.
So I get into the driver's meeting. I meet Miss America from 2009.
Nice.
Richard Childress.
She usually goes with me.
Yeah,
really. I talked to Tony Stewart, talked to Carl Edwards, then I got to meet the animal, Chuck Liddell.
Did you really?
And on top of it, the best one, the people that talked to me the longest, Maury Povich and Connie Chung.
No, get out of here, man.
Absolutely.
Maury Sonovich.
Yeah. Go figure.
Oh,
and I also got to meet Nick Saban from University of Alabama.
Hey, I was Dale's ass right here in the studio one night.
I shook his hand and he told me don't squeeze so hard.
I'll tell you something. I just, when you was talking to Carl Edwards, are you the one that told him to finish this off with a bang?
I told him he better take some Claritin so he can see clear into the fence.
No doubt. Boy, wasn't that something, man?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. He's talking about, they got to fix this and that. Like my buddy Chris said, he'd have never gotten the fence had Ryan Newman not got a piece of it.
Yeah.
If the car was coming down,
Yeah. And, of course, now you're scheduled usually to, of course, do the deal for the Southern All-Stars at the Hornets' Nest.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did. Now, take us through some of that race, Rick. I know you weren't really a part of that due to some contractual issues. Nonetheless, two big nights over across the street anyway.
Yeah, they had a huge crowd on Friday night, and they had a little match race with about five drivers from NASCAR. And Saturday night, they had another pretty big crowd, and, you're talking like 40, 50 cars over there. And it's 5,000 to win on Saturday night, like 2,000 on Friday night. But it's just the atmosphere of Talladega and the short track and everything going on the big track. It's basically a big party.
Definitely, definitely. A great, great little racetrack right there.
No doubt.
Racetrack. All right. So, dude, you are currently in Ohio heading out. You're going to go park that rig, get it serviced, head up to Michigan, see your granddaughter for the first time ever. Dude, I mean, take us through what you're feeling, Rick. You just got to be so excited.
I've seen pictures, but pictures don't do justice of actually, holding someone that you're meeting for the first time in your family. It's big. And Sandy's excited. She wants to get her hands on her and, we're only going to be there a day, but, that's a big day.
Your son, Derek, of course, successfully completed boot camp at the United States Army. Has he been assigned yet, and will he be there with you?
No, actually, he has been at Fort Sam Houston since he got out of basic training, going through his medical training. He's going for medic. So he gets done there May 29th. He'll get to come home. And being in the reserve end of that deal, he's going to have to serve a little bit, but he's also going to be working in the field. So, he's excited, too.
That's wonderful. Now, you've only seen him once since basic, and that was his graduation, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Talked to him on the phone all the time, but, it's one of them things, Texas, and I'm somewhere in God's country, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah, but that's all right, man. That's what it's all about, and you're doing what you got to do.
What's this got to do with dirt racing?
Nothing.
All right, I'll just make it sure.
Nothing.
Well, let's jump off the track again, Joe. How's my boy? Special Ed, Fred, Will, and Emmett.
Well, all three of them came with me tonight. Fred's just Fred's walking up to me right now.
Oh,
he's trying to climb the tree.
Now we're having the Parita
show. Willie and Billy will agree with me. He just saw it. I looked under the production table. Willie, it was out, and I don't know what he was doing with it, but I picked Willie up and I showed it to Billy, and he got freaked out.
Jack,
so I brought Willie
Jack
outside.
Smith, you got to get me the hell out of this show with these fools, Jack.
Rick,
Smith.
I'm not kidding. He must have knew you were going to be on the phone tonight.
Jack Smith.
He must have known. Hammer got a haircut.
Hey, you
got
to love Will. He was third in the Wiener Nationals. He raced winner. Didn't quite get out of the block good, but that's all good.
Exactly. The Wiener Nationals was on dirt.
Yes, sir. And
yeah, that's right.
With the second annual on August 1st, and we expect to double the field, so maybe we'll see about 20 wiener dogs, and we certainly look forward to Willie joining everybody in the Wiener Circle.
Oh, yeah, he has definitely got to get the golden bone this year.
No doubt about it. All right, Rick, point this far, the 2009 round of the World of Outlaws late models, take us through the top five.
Well, I'll give you one guess who's leading.
Well,
anybody?
I'm not guessing, no sir.
Daryl Lanigan has got the point lead again.
Wow.
But it's only by four. Richards is right there. Clanton's right there. Babb's still hanging in the top five. Francis is sitting fourth. I mean, let's face it, at the top six, seven drivers where Rick Eckert sits, 56 points. That's doable, totally doable.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Bluegrass Band is holding on to that points lead, still not visiting victory lane.
Of course not. Four-point lead, but here we go again.
Wow.
Top five, top ten. You know, but he's having troubles this year. Last year, not one flat tire. He's had his share of flats this year, so he's human. Let's put it that way.
Wow, unbelievable. As always, some of the most competitive late model racing found throughout the country. Rick Esterman, man, you made the program. Let me ask you a question before you go.
What you got, Billy?
Any word on Darren Miller? I know they folded up shop, but any word?
Yes. Yes, everything is sold. He is D-U-N done.
Oh.
Now, I'm speculating here. Darren had an illness about a year ago. It kept him out for a few months. My guess is he's not feeling good, and he needs to hang it up for one reason or the other. But,
wow.
I mean, he's done. That's just speculation on my end. It's not news. It's just something, you know, you wonder. He was sick, and then he came back to race, and, you know, he gets done running with us down at Volusia, and that's it.
Yeah, he didn't look good in February either.
He won opening night.
Sure did. UMP show. Yep.
But let me ask another question. What about the Jesse Stovall deal? Is that? I heard he was replaced in that car. Is that just a rumor?
Yeah. That's a very very hush hush deal too. In the car now, all of a sudden out. So you draw your own conclusions there. It could be any million number of things.
Yeah, I heard Will Vaught was driving the car.
Well, you know, Will lives in Crane, Missouri, and not that far from where Stovall lived and where the car is. So, I mean, it's a good fit. Will Vaught's in a Victory Circle M1, and it's pretty stout, and he's pretty good in it.
Good Lord.
Okay.
Rick, any indication on some drivers that are going to be vying for the Summer Nationals up there the hell month? I mean, certainly it won't be your
time. Obviously, you're going to see your Dennis or your Randy Cordy's. Nobody knows what Shannon Babb's going to do. He's not saying, and he's not letting anything out. He's sitting in the top five in our points. So is he going to do it? Who knows? Billy Moyer, is he going to do the gruel? Who knows? I mean, it's one thing or another with these guys, and it's going to be one of them on June 14th when they go to Brownstown, Indiana. Who's there? That's going to be who's going to go for it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But here's some news. You saw him down at Volusia. Word from Vic Coffey is if Terry Trammell clears him, Tim McCready's back in action the end of May and ready for the dream.
That soon. I'll be damned. Still going to drive for same deal. That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Anna Carl Meyer, Sweetness Plus cars, the whole nine yards. Coffey said he's doing real good, but Terry Trammell has to clear him before he goes. And if he does clear him sometime this month, he'll be at Eldora.
Wow. That's almost worth making the trip right there, Billy.
To the dream.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we want to do that anyway.
I can't go to the Dream because that's the same weekend as the Powell Memorial.
Yeah, given the choice, I mean,
well, I'd like to do the Dream, but with my life taking a major change on Thursday, I got to work.
What happened Thursday, Billy?
I lost my job, Rick.
Oh no, M&K.
Yep, 13 years I've been there. Got laid off.
Yeah, sign of the times, my friend.
The good news is
that you got the resources to pick up and go.
Oh, yeah.
Do what you got to do.
I can't slow down now. I got to keep moving.
No, that's it. You get stuck, you're in the mud for the rest of your life. So just keep the wheels turning, baby.
I might have to come help you those 9 days you're going.
Yeah, you can check the microphone for me.
Yeah, I can do that. World of Outlaw late model test, 1, 2, 3. Mike test, 1, 2, 3.
You're hired.
Big E, keep that dirt off your dog, all right, buddy?
Yeah, you too, and you keep take care of the boys down there in Deltona for me. And Billy the Kid, chin up, buddy. Chin up.
All right. See you later, Ricky.
See you, Rick.
All right, fellas.
All right, buddy. Made the program right there, Bill. Always does, man.
With the I heard that deal last week about Stovall.
I didn't hear that. That's interesting.
I said there's no way it's true because, believe it or not, on May the 1st, ADC, the American Diecast Company,
right,
that makes the dirt late models, put the Jesse Stovall car up for sale. The ADC cars, you can order them from May 1st to May 31st. So I didn't think it was true, and then I had heard it, that it was. And I'm thinking to myself, why would they make this Stovall car if he ain't driving a Stovall car if he ain't driving a car no more?
Exactly.
So I'm trying to figure that deal out.
Enjoyed a good bit of success in that race car, man. Jesse was just starting out. I mean, he was on the career track.
Yeah, Jesse Stovall's not a bad race car driver, and I'm sure they were looking for bigger things in that deal, and something better is allowed to come along for him. So,
and getting back to Darren Miller, so interesting. I mean, I was so surprised when they made the announcement that they were closing up shop. It was just really, it just floored me. I couldn't believe it. And
but Joe, I'm going to tell you something, man.
I just couldn't believe it.
At Dirt Car Nationals, when Darren Miller won opening night,
he didn't look good, Bill.
He didn't seem like Darren Miller that we all know.
And we had him on Dirt World Live.
We had him on Dirt World Live, and he just didn't seem like, he seemed like something was wrong with him the whole time. He wasn't that, you know. I went up to him the next day, and I said, "Hey, Darren, congratulations on your big win last night." Shook his hand, and like always, he's always the same way. He shook my hand and said, "Thanks, man." And that's it. Usually he'll say, well, the racetrack was this, the racetrack was that, and we was a little off here and there. I mean, even though he won, I'm not expecting him to, but he always talks about something else. Well, we could have done this different, been a little faster, or we almost let this one get away. But Darren Miller seemed like something was wrong with him. Something was on his mind, or something was going on with him. Maybe he knew what was coming here. And I know he owned all that stuff.
Yeah.
Whoever bought the stuff got a good deal on
it. No doubt.
It's all rocket stuff, I mean. It can compete. I mean,
let me tell you, Billy, he was well-respected amongst his peers out
still
on the
is.
Racetrack.
I mean, he's
well-respected.
I don't know that we've seen the last of Darren Miller.
I hope not.
I don't know.
He's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah, I don't know that we've seen the last of Darren Miller, but...
I know you've seen the last of us. It's 8:15.
I got a question for you guys.
Oh, come on. You know what? Let's talk to Jack.
I got a question for you guys. I've been you guys were talking with Rick and about, you know, where the point standings are and who's doing what in that deal and all that. And I'm looking at, while you were doing that, I was looking at the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series point standings, and I was thinking about some things that are interesting to me. Is Kevin Durden has just jumped into this thing, and he's done pretty good, huh, Billy?
Yes, he has.
And the points, looking at who's where and what in the points, I mean, Jason Fitzgerald's got a 10-point lead over Mark Whitener, and about another 110 points back from them two is Russell Brown. I mean, there's a bunch of people here all getting bunched up.
Yeah.
You know?
Durden just bought that car, just got that car.
Didn't he get a top 10 the other night?
Yeah, he finished ninth Saturday night, and actually his first race out was at Penton. He wasn't even going to debut the car until the very next week at Volusia, the 25th. He was going to take it and ended up going to Penton and ran with us at Penton, ran with us at Phoenix City, paid his membership.
Right.
Ran with us this weekend at North Florida. He's ran three races.
He's 10th in points.
He's 10th in points.
Wow.
Now, where are the guys? Do you know where, Billy and Joe, do you guys know where, like, who's leading the points at the other tracks in the state? Like,
I know for sure that with the big win that Jeff Matthews had this weekend, which he swept both groups again,
sure,
he has to be leading the points. Matter of fact, he told me that's the reason why he didn't come to North Florida is because he was leading the points at East Bay and he was staying in the race. So he has to be leading the points there for sure. I think
Mark Whitener's leading Volusia.
I think Billy Costello may be leading the points at Ocala.
Huh.
But it's very tight there between him, J.O. Nobles, and Mark Whitener.
Billy, look up Volusia while you got it.
And second. I think if I had to seem to guess, I'd say that Fitzgerald would be leading the points at Volusia.
I think you're right. That'd be my guess, too.
How cool is this?
Fitzgerald is in the top five in the points in the Ray Miller deal, too.
Here we talked at the beginning of the season, and I can't say it enough. Somebody could go home
with
$100,000 this year for two different series championships, and we didn't even mix in a track championship.
Hey,
there.
Listen to me, cuz that's pretty close. Whitener's won. He's won three out of four. He's won three out of four races that he's ran with United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Yeah.
And Fitzgerald keeps knocking them down in the other deal. He keeps knocking down the wins in that deal. They've both won. Well, Fitzgerald hasn't won at Ocala yet, but. Whitener's won over there a couple of times, and Fitzgerald's been there a couple of times.
But Fitzgerald's won two at Volusia this year, and Mark Whitener's got one. So I know that's close.
Yeah.
Wow. But we didn't even talk about a track championship. You know, now it is going to be impossible. Well, I don't know, and I'm not sitting here, not the mathematician, certainly not even the statistician that you are, Billy.
Enough,
but wait a minute.
If you get far enough ahead, you could do it.
Well, okay. You could do National late models, United Dirt late models, and then how many track championships? I can't imagine you getting more than one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, unbelievable. I know that's never been done. I'll guarantee it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's very interesting. I mean, you got Nosbitt, Keith Nosbitt, Dylan Wood, Johnny Collins, Russell Brown, Mark Whitener, Jason Fitzgerald right at the top, and you got Tyler Ivey, Jordy. I mean, people that don't go to these races a lot, you know, I mean, your hardcore dirt fans, they know all these guys and they know who they are.
Of course.
But people that are just kind of catching on to this dirt thing and the dirt late model scene in the South, I don't think people have a clue how good these guys really are, man.
They are catching on slowly. I mean, they're starting to see it. Certainly, you go to two events and you watch these same guys operate, and it doesn't take long for the cream to rise up. You know what I mean? And really start to float to the top. And that's
actually
what these guys are doing.
Minshew is your leader.
Is he? Who's second?
As of April 25th, it goes Lawton Minshew.
That's our last late model race.
Late Lawton Minshew, Stanton Mills, David Clegg, Whitener fourth, Jeff Phipps, Fitzgerald. Phipps, Fitzgerald, and Dylan Wood are all within 5 points.
Wow.
But you got those guys who've been traveling with us. That's why they've been missing. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, and they're going to fall down until you get back. I mean, they're going to fall down in there. But, you know, when we come back for the Thompson, I mean, they can rise right back up in there.
Yeah, I think you'll see. I mean, it's good to see Lawton leading that deal.
And you know what? Let's face it. Lawton has struggled leading that. You know, he really has. Lawton is so overdue for a win. You know, Lawton Minshew, one of the veterans in Florida late model racing, and the guy's still got the talent of a 20-year-old. I mean, and I know you'd agree with that, Billy. I mean, it's just a matter of time before he puts that new one in victory lane as well.
Yeah, I think Lawton is having a good year. I still think you'll be able to see what we've been talking about. The guys are making money because, like we said, Whitener's won twice there. Fitzgerald's won twice there. Plus, Whitener's won at Ocala. Fitzgerald's won at Brunswick. You know, stuff like that. I mean, that's just going around. It's going to be – what's going to happen here is, let me tell you something. What we're fixing to tell the tale is, in 2 weeks when we go to Oglethorpe, the other late model series races that Saturday night at Albany, when we race at Screvett.
That'll separate
we'll
a little
tell
bit.
The tale and see who goes where on that on that particular deal, and we'll see what happens there.
Both for the same money?
Yes, for the same money. Now, we will have some cars that show up on Saturday that's not even going on Friday.
Right.
But, I mean, we will tell the tale that Saturday about who makes the trip the other direction instead of going south.
Well,
who makes the trip?
Let's talk about that other direction. I mean, you've already mentioned, Jack just mentioned Jordy Nipper, certainly Mark Whitener, Biedenbaugh. Talk about some of these guys that were tried and true national late model drivers that seem to have completely changed teams and moved over to the UDLMCS.
Well, I think the biggest thing is you can still drop a race or drop a couple races with the National Late Model Sportsman deal. I still think you can drop a few races, but I think if you're outside the top five in that deal and you're inside the top five or inside the top ten with us, I think the best way to do it is be at Screvett and not use that as a drop race because we still have to go to Waycross. A lot of guys don't like to go there, and we still have that asphalt race at Punta Gorda. A lot of the dirt races won't go there. So
big success last year.
You could use one of them races as a drop race and go ahead and eat up the Screvett deal.
Another name that has barely been spoken on the tongues of many race fans is Johnny Collins this year. You know, I mean, here's a guy defending the championship, struggling financially. You know, it's really difficult to see. You just wonder what's going on out of Johnny Collins. Certainly losing his full-time job affected him and impacted that whole program greatly, but... You know, here's a guy that couldn't do anything wrong in 2008. This year, I'm afraid it looks like Johnny Collins is not a contender.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think we've seen the last of Johnny Collins.
He's only 130 points out of first place, and he missed that one race. You know, he didn't race that one race.
Then he knocked off the Toss Memorial in the same month. So so I really don't think we've seen the last of Collins yet. I think Collins, but let's be honest, we've had five races. And Whitener's won three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only raced four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, I don't think we've seen, I mean, Dylan Wood had a great run Saturday night, finished third. And John Kellum actually ran second. So you might see some things turn around here. A lot of guys are on top of their game now, and all the big money's coming now.
You know what I noticed Saturday night? Whitener had his spiffy new uniform on.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What was just a new driver suit, you guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what happened with Whitener was I think tire selection is what helped Whitener propel to the win Saturday night.
But like I said, I still don't think Whitener had the best car. I still think the 26 Beedenball car was the best car there.
There's another guy that can play spoiler. I mean, Beedenball, you'll agree, perhaps had the fastest car at the 2008 Thompson Memorial. He was right there with Collins, but, you know, as things started to settle in, you know, Adam just couldn't do anything. But this guy's strong wherever you guys go. You've watched him race much more than I have. Here's a guy that I think has a valid shot at the championship as well.
Yeah, I think over the next 2 months you're going to tell the tale because all the big money comes up. You have the Powell Memorial is $5,000 to win. You know, when you start putting the money on the line, you start seeing the cream rise to the top. I think everything will be all right.
Billy, compare Tyler Ivey, Dylan Wood.
How you want to compare them?
Well, I mean, Dylan Wood, this guy struggled so many years, a young man, you know, learning how to drive this late model. Pressure from his father, you know, it's big. I mean,
are you asking me if we were doing fantasy racing, who I'd pick?
That's exactly what I'm asking.
I'd pick Tyler Ivey.
Why?
Because Tyler Ivey seems like he has his head on straight, and he has a little more consistent. I mean, he was in the top five Saturday night until the wheel came off. But Tyler Ivey is to me the all around race car driver. He's no offense to Dylan Wood, I like Dylan as a person, but I think when you start putting the money on the line, I think Tyler Ivey
Dylan Wood has been the model of consistency this season. I mean, look at the runner-ups at Volusia. Look at the top fives in the late models. I mean, I would put this guy right next to Tyler. You know, what you're basing this on, if I will, is Tyler's run in the super late model during the Dirt Car Nationals. I mean, this guy made more programs than he didn't make. And again, I mean, he ran so well.
I'm not basing it on the top. I'm basing it on the finishes that they've had when they've been running. Without the doubt, Dylan Wood may ran second at Volusia a couple times this year, but what our shows, this third-place finish Saturday night was the best he's had. But you go off like the opening show at Ocala when Tyler Ivey had a little problem before qualifying with the right rear tire being a little too soft. He went to the back of the heat race, drove his way to it, made it, finished second in the A-Main.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
This is what I'm saying. I'm saying as a more consistent over, and Tyler's had some good runs at Brunswick, and, I mean, he's had some problems too, but that's what I'm saying. If you take the two drivers' overall finish, I think Tyler's a little bit better. Even though Dylan's ran second a few places, you still got to say the weeks that he was running second there, Tyler wasn't racing.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right about that.
So, I mean, I know he was at Volusia opening night and stuff like that, but I still think you know, if you did that, that would be who I'd pick.
Well, I'll tell you what, those two drivers are going to put on just some great shows still to come here in 2009. And I say don't count out young Dylan Wood because I think his time has come. I think he's realized it. I got to agree with you with maturity level as far as Tyler being the total package, you know, and the calm demeanor that he has behind the wheel of that race car. But I think Dylan just has that extra little.
I think without a doubt, Dylan could knock down a win this year, and I think it might come at one of the three Volusia races. But then again, when you start putting all the top dogs in front of me, he ran second twice there, both times the Fitzgerald, and you know Fitzgerald's going to be at those three races. So
yeah, true.
You know, that's the question. That's the million-dollar question, or the $3,800 question, or the $5,000 question, or what's going to happen there. But we all know that when you put the money on the line and you start getting down the home stretch here, Johnny Collins is pretty tough at Volusia.
Definitely.
Let's face it, he hasn't been there yet this year because, like you said, they're not traveling as much. And I know he's back to working now. He's back to working at nights with the railroad, which is good for him. But I'm telling you, he hasn't been there. There's any night he could pull up there and run off with this deal. You know, and it's like, you know, last Saturday or two Saturdays ago, the same thing, Whitener rolls in the gate. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I think Richard Ferry, he's got a good car, too. He's liable to knock down one here down the stretch.
Richard, I'll tell you what, he's a guy that I would never discount. Richard can come from anywhere, pick up a win, and he's always good for a win. Richard Ferry, I'll tell you, with this new effort, it just seems like, man, the dark cloud is still over him. It's been over him for the past couple of years, despite the championship at Volusia with only one visit to Victory Lane. He did that 2 years ago, but I'll tell you, man, Richard Ferry, it just seems like he's Schleprock, man. He's got the dark cloud over him. I mean, always swept into some kind of situation.
The thing that you have at Volusia is you have the guys that stay right there, like the Stanton. Look at Stanton Mills. He's second in your points.
Yeah.
He's been pretty consistent. He runs pretty good
there. He's not going anywhere.
You got Rob Underwood, who's been in the top five there a week that doesn't really travel and go there. So when the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series comes to town, it's going to be tough for one of our guys to knock off one of your guys, but I think it's going to happen, and you can't really say one of our guys because Fitzgerald, Whitener, and Dylan Wood
are our guys too.
Yeah, they all come to your place too.
That's what's cool.
So you know that's what you see. You know, I think it'd be interesting because you can't, no matter what, you can't take anything away from the Nosbics because they'll be there. I think Keith Nozick is still a great race car driver, and I think he's one of the best. But I'd put him right there, right up the same class as Ivan and Lloyd.
Billy, do you think there's any chance that the schedules are going to allow or everything else being in place for Matthews to do any of these series races?
I think it does. I think we just need to look down the, have to look down the stretch and see what's coming for East Bay for Matthews. But Matthews, I'm going to tell you something right now. Matthews has got in his mind that he wants to win the championship there in the late model, and he wants to win it in the mod. And I don't really blame him because, like I said last week, he's racing with a heavy heart, but, you know, with that deal happening at the beginning of the year for Prather. And you know what? If he doesn't make the trip to one of our shows, I wouldn't really hold it against him because I know what he's going through. I know what he wants to do. But I still think that if there's going to be a week that we have our Thompson race, if they're not racing mods at East Bay, he might make the trip. But other than that.
Yeah, well, the reason I brought that up, Billy, is you know, it would be good for him to show up on them races because he's a fan draw. Because right now I think that guy's headed in the direction of being the outstanding driver of this year around the state of Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with you. He's definitely a fan draw. And anytime you can get him in the house, it's a good thing. And he does put him on his feet. You know, and he's been the hottest thing at East Bay. I will tell you that. He has been hot. I think I have to just look at the schedule and see what we got. I mean, I know I'll see Jeff this Friday. Matter of fact, Jeff's not racing this week. He's not bringing his late model Cali. He told me that on the phone this week. Matter of fact, he told me he's going to take the weekend off. So they might not even see him at East Bay Saturday night in the modified. So.
Dirt World's son, Patrick Sheltra, of course, in the ARCA Remax Challenge Series. They're going to make the trip to Kentucky. That is on Saturday, May 9th. That green flag's at 8 o'clock. Nice night race. And don't forget, folks, this is where Patrick Sheltra picked up his first top 10 in ARCA competition back in 2007. So watch him. This is also the home base for his new sponsor that he just picked up. And that, of course, is – I just saw that here.
The Wings place, isn't it?
It is. It's Rings and Wings and let me find that here.
Wings and Rings.
Buffalo Wings and Rings, whose headquarters just sits 45 minutes from the Bluegrass track. So watch Patrick Sheltra try to pick up yet another win in ARCA Remax Challenge Series competition on Saturday night, 8 o'clock at Kentucky.
Sheltra had the fastest car at Talladega and blowed up the motor.
Yeah, isn't that something?
He's been on a pretty good run, and I'm sure he was. They said that year he finished seventh at Kentucky. He was the fastest in happy hour or whatever.
Yep.
So I'm sure that Shelter's going to be on a good run with that deal. It's
going to be a good one. That's
glad to see. I believe he's leading the points in that deal.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Boy, you talk about what a wreck can do for you.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to be watching Patrick Sheltra. We're going to DVR that event because we'll be out at Volusia Speedway Park, Billy, after Friday night at Ocala with the big late model show. You guys are going to try to make the trip over to the Super Half Mile right there in Barberville. But I want to thank Rick Eshelman for checking in with us here tonight on his way up to Michigan. Billy, again, we knocked down an hour, no problem.
Yeah, we apologize for not having the big heavy hitters. We had a couple of things lined up, but we didn't get the phone calls. But next Wednesday, we're back in full force. And we're working on a thing right now for the local driver spotlight is what we're going to do, where we've been doing our local drivers, where we've been having one local driver a week. And we're actually working with a local person about maybe making it worth the local driver's while, where they may get a gift certificate. Not mentioning any names yet until we get the deal done. But
yeah, great company, though. I'll tell you, drivers, this is in your best interest to be a part of this program because this particular company can really help your racing effort.
Okay. So we'll get that fired off, and we'll go from there.
Still trying to get Dirt Head on board. Of course, in talks with them to get them on board Dirt World. So a lot of things in the works. We thank everybody that did tune in tonight. Hang in there with us on Dirt World. Billy and I really enjoy bringing this to you. We thank Jack for giving us the opportunity every Wednesday night. For my good friend Billy the Kid, and I'm going to tell you to get some dirt on your dog. I'm Joe Dirt.
Get some dirt on your face. Good night, everybody.
Learning lessons of the heart, a recent revelation. I found a place to start. It's the highway. Can you hear me? Sometimes we ride along.
just around the bend. Dixie High.